When I looked at this, sharing resources, I thought, well, that's pretty challenging. It's also a pretty broad scope. When you start thinking about it, the major themes about sharing resources are absolutely massive. On a global scale, it covers everything from climate change. Oh, where's the clicker? Better have that. Climate change, to natural disasters, and through to injustice and modern slavery. It covers a huge spread of stuff. On the national scale, I guess it's entwined within politics, the politics of our nation, international politics, all sorts. And I guess it, to a degree, it should inform our allegiances and our voting decisions, because all these things are all tied together, aren't they? As a church, I guess it must touch on how we deal with each other and those around us within our community. And I guess it should also include our mission beyond West Kirby to maybe West Wirral or Bradford or Malawi or Chad. It's huge. Sharing resources, it can't be just thought of in a little microcosm. However, sometimes it's better not to make it too complicated. And as I mentioned earlier, it has to also include the relationship between the Lord Almighty and our relationships together, our interrelationships, because actually that's also part of the whole thing. Sharing God's resources is what we're talking about. It's easy for us to think it's our resources, but actually all that we have, all that we are, they all belong to God. And God is a mighty, powerful God. He's not just standing on the sidelines, is he? He's taking an interest in each of our lives. So when I start thinking, I've got to cover this in 20 minutes, that's going to be interesting, but I'm going to try. We can't, I think, escape the call to share our resources. Here's a very quick snapshot of just 9 passages from the Bible, probably a bit too small for you to see, so I'll tell you what it says. In Genesis 1, it talks about humankind being given responsibility as stewards of all God's creation. In 1 Kings, it has a much more intimate picture of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Both give and receive something when they meet together. In Isaiah, we hear a great call for us to share what we have and to struggle against injustice and oppression. Then we come on to the New Testament. We look at the Gospels. We find that sharing what we have is an integral part of following Christ. We see that in Matthew 25. In Mark 12, we have this lovely story, or is it, of the widow giving her last coin into the temple coffers. It always strikes me that is probably the wrong thing to do, but what Jesus is pointing out is that actually the rich were giving so much less than she gave. And in Luke 3, we hear a challenge for us not to be greedy, but to share with those who have less. And then we come into Acts, which talks about the sharing of the early church and the outcomes of that, the way there was so much blessing poured upon the church when that was happening. We hear in Galatians that we should share one another's burdens. So that's another form of resourcing the church, isn't it? We're sharing ourselves, sharing one another's burdens. And then in 1 John, we're called to love one another. So I'm going to look at the 1 John passage. Hopefully that's big enough for you to read this time. Let's read it. I'm going to read it from the Contemporary English Version, which I rather like. It starts at verse 16 of chapter 3 of John, if you want to follow it in the Bible. So verse 16, we know what love is because Jesus gave his love for us. That's why we must give our lives for each other. If we have all we need and see one of our own people in need, we must have pity on that person, or else we cannot really say that we love God. Children, you show love for others by truly helping them, and not by just merely talking about it. When we love others, we know that we belong to the truth, and we feel at ease in the presence of God. But even if we don't feel at ease, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if we feel at ease in the presence of God, we will have the courage to come near him. He will give us whatever we ask because we obey him and do what pleases him. God wants us to have faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love each other. This is also what Jesus taught us to do. If we obey God's commandments, we will stay one in our hearts with him, and he will stay one with us. The Spirit that he has given to us is proof that we are one in him. Look, I'm trying to go back, Maxine. It's not letting me. Can you just take that back one slide? Thank you. Just going to give a brief comment on each of those verses, just to sort of reinforce what this is saying. In verse 16, Jesus is set as the gold standard for giving. He gave himself. He gave himself utterly. And so we're called to follow his example as best we can. In 17, it tells us we cannot stand by and ignore the needs of our own people. In 18, it tells us that helping others shows that our love is real. 19, when we truly love, then we can feel at ease when we come into the presence of God. I think that's a lovely sense, isn't it? We can feel at ease as we come into the presence of God. 21, and we'll have courage to allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in us. 22, by answering our prayers. And 23, building up our faith in Jesus and growing in love even more. And then 24, if we obey the command to love, then we remain in God's love and he in ours through the power of the Spirit of God, proving by his presence and actions that we are one with him. It's an extraordinary set of verses, and it seems almost like a circle or a spiral. It all comes together. I like this verse, though. Going back to verse 20, it reminds us that even when we don't feel completely at ease, that God is greater than our feelings. You know, sometimes that's how we are, aren't we? We might not feel completely at ease with ourselves. We might not feel quite completely at ease with coming into church. We might not feel at ease with being in God's presence. But actually, what this is saying is, you know, if we just let God be our Savior, he is greater than our feelings. He knows everything. We don't have to feel that we have to hide that from him. I find that really reassuring. God's not going to let our personal situation get in the way of inspiring us. I like that. So what does this all mean when it comes to sharing resources? Well, I think it sort of means it's a kind of two-way street. That actually, as we reach out to God and he reaches out to us, things are happening. The relationship is building up. And as we share with others, as we share with him, as he shares with us, we find ourselves in this wonderful situation. We're being inspired by the Holy Spirit. We're breathing in the power of God into our lives as we follow his example of giving ourselves. You see, this is a holy habit. It's something that we need to get more used to. Something that's sharing with each other, sharing of ourselves, sharing of what we have and who we are. This is what the holy habit is. Verse 17 says, if we have more than we need, then we should share it. So what could we possibly have more than we need of? Well, could be money. It could be time. At different stages in our lives, we have different amounts of these things, don't we? It could be hope. You know, there's more that we need to share than just our money and our time. It could be the space in our house. Well, we know that some of our lovely people are indeed sharing the space in their house with our lovely Time for God students. Could be hospitality. We talked about that right at the beginning of this series. It could be your car. The insurers get in the way of that a bit. I was thinking the other day that it would be really nice to try and have a church-wide car insurance scheme so we could just insure everybody on everybody's cars. I don't think they're going to take me up on it. But you know, I mean, even if I just insured my car for one other person, it might be a blessing to them. We could share wisdom. And, you know, the best thing of all, we could share joy. We could share the joy of the Lord together. There are many things that we can share. And at different times in our lives, we're called to share different things. All these things are resources that God has given to us. He has been generous. We need to be generous too. Ask yourself, what do I have that I could share? Here's a different list. Salvation. I think Louise is going to be talking something about that, making disciples next week. We could definitely share our salvation, can't we? There are those moments when we can do that. We can share our prayerfulness. We can bless those that we know, that we love, and even some that we hardly know by praying for them. I can share my story of faith. Not just about how I came to faith, because sometimes that is an awful long way away. It certainly is with me. I start talking about coming to faith, I'm now thinking about 50 years. Doesn't seem so terribly relevant. I always like to think that maybe if Louise just said to me in the middle of a service, of course she'll do this now, won't she? Colin, come up here and share your testimony. What happened between you and God last week that I should be able to do it? It might be the week before. Who knows? Actually sharing our stories with our Christian friends and our stories with the people that we just meet day by day, those are amazing things. I had this great opportunity to talk to my grandson, Keon, the other day, and I had something that had just happened to me a couple of days before, which I shared with him. He was kind of blown away. You know, that's what we need to be doing. We need to, it's in the moment. It's now. It's the stuff that's relevant today. Share your stories. Worship. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, weren't we? Sharing our worship together, encouraging each other, encouraging the lovely band. You know, these people who come here Sunday by Sunday, morning and evening, and lead the worship, that is quite a sacrifice. There's the preparation, the setting it up, the getting all the music out, working with everybody else. And we need to encourage them and encourage each other and be part of this wonderful, wonderful relay race of worship that powers itself around the world, hour by hour, as it goes through every time zone. I always love to think about that, the fact that worship is revolving around the church. The first phase comes through here, and then this evening, phase two, it'll come through, and we'll be part of it again. That is a tremendous resource. Tremendous, wonderful resource. I'm going to ask the band just to come back, because they're going to just start playing in a few minutes. What's the greatest resource that we have? I started to think about that. You know, it's obviously terrific when people do things like the food bank and stuff like that. That's tremendous. But the greatest resource that we have, I think, is the power of God. God pouring his Spirit out upon this church, upon this worldwide church. He shares his power with us, and we want to share that out to other people. We all know the enormous benefits of living within the love of God. The fact that our lives are so changed, so altered, so blessed by us being God's people. But those outside of the faith are like people standing blindly on a motorway with this huge pantechnicon bearing down on them at 60 miles an hour. They're like a blindfolded man walking along the cliff path with the rocks of destruction far below. It's that that we need to be thinking of sharing. Because God has this wonderful rescue plan, this plan that starts and ends with Jesus, with his death, and then his resurrection, that empowers new life in us and the pouring out of his Spirit into our lives. We need to share that. We sure do. And Lou is going to be talking about some of that next time. We must share the resources that God's given to us. For all that I have is not actually mine. It doesn't belong to me. And that's everything from my money to my worship. They are gifts from God. So that's the holy habit, sharing resources. And we need to get more and more into the habit of doing these things. And I can tell you, I'm definitely not perfect in this. I'm not preaching from a position of being good at it. I found this really challenging, as I'm sure we all do. But that's how we can show our love to one another, to encourage each other, to bless each other, to see when there's a need, and if we have the resources to sort that out, to be part of the solution, not just in prayer, not just in speech, but in action. And to delight in being in fellowship with one another. Here on Sunday morning, every week. On Sunday evening, we also come and give God the glory. And on Thursdays, once a month at the moment, at Coffee, Cake, and Communion. It's a great joy that in this church we have so many different options, different ways of being church together, and in all the home fellowship groups that meet together. These are great things. So let's enter with enthusiasm, with exuberant joy, with expectation when we come to meet with God, into the holy habit of sharing God's resources that have been lent to us. Let's pray together. Lord God, we rejoice with those who say, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." That's where the people go, the people of the Lord, to praise his name according to the word of God. For the sake of my family and my friends, I will say, "Peace be with you." For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. Come, Lord Jesus, use what you have given to us to make us a people of joy and delight. Lord, use us for the sake of your gospel. Use us to bless one another, that we may share the resources you've given to us, O Lord, that we may share those resources in a godly, righteous and fulfilling way. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're going to stand and we're going to sing together. It's a new song, I think. But use it to start with as a prayer, and as you get to know it, let's just get deep into these lovely words as we come towards the close of the service.